We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBA Front Office Show. Thank you for kicking off your weekend with us. I'm Trevor Lane. You can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Lane, joined by Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA. Keith, we've got a few things to dive into today. We're going to review the Milwaukee Bucks offseason. We do have a news item to discuss as well. But you know what? I'm not a big documentary person in general. I don't tend to like go searching for documentaries, but there was one last night on Netflix that was about Woodstock 99. Have you checked that out?
I haven't seen that.
It's worth the look. It brought back a lot. This is our era, so it brought back a lot of memories, and it's really, really scary seeing some of the stuff that went down. I'm through two of the three episodes so far. Crazy times, brought me back music wise for sure. But oh, definitely, my goodness, what a mess. And the whole thing, as I'm watching this thing, I'm watching this just disaster play out and all the planning that did not go correctly. All I kept thinking was they needed Keith to plan this thing out, just like he planned out the Disney bubble. Then everything would have been fine.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. But so you want to hear my funny Woodstock 99 story?
Oh, where I didn't know you had one.
Yeah, I was not there by any means. We were... I think it was 99. I'm 99% sure it was 99. We were playing basketball in the driveway of my parents' house, and the ball rolled down the driveway and across the street. It wasn't like a very long driveway or anything. And it went like you know how a ball will like roll like into like the fender of a car. Uh-huh. It rolled into the fender of the car, and the guy across the street pulled it out and he threw it back over and he goes, "Hey," he goes, "that's got Woodstock mud on it," because they had just come back from Woodstock.
Oh,
so there's my Woodstock story. My wife is not looking at me like, "What in the world has this got to do with NBA basketball?" Because she can only hear my side of this conversation.
It's basketball related. It was a basketball that got stuck.
Exactly. And we
the thing that blows me away the most about that is that you remember that.
Yeah, stuck. It's funny. I don't think I've thought of that in probably 20 years since it, you know, almost since it happened. But yeah, I remember them throwing it back and the guy being like, "Let's go Woodstock mud on it," because they had gone. They were let's just say the folks that lived across the street at that time were a very interesting crowd of people.
Sounds like a fun neighborhood, especially if they went and checked out Woodstock. Although again,
a little bit. Yeah, it was a nice place to grow up.
It's worth checking out that documentary because it's that was a disaster.
I do remember that.
That was a mess. That's why there hasn't been another one since then. They did it in 94, did it in 99. Of course, the one the original.
It might have been the 94 one then. Now that I think about it, that was probably likely when that happened. But yeah, it's definitely, yeah. But yeah, I do remember those not being my dad almost went to the original. And then him and my uncle got working on my dad's car, I believe it was, that they were going to drive out, got doing some, right? Because that's back when, you know, men actually worked on cars, right? Unlike I drive the car to the shop to get fixed.
I do too.
They were working on it, and then they put the radio on, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that was this weekend." Like they literally had forgotten like that it was that weekend for the original Woodstock.
And then ends up being this historic event, that was the sign of the times. And, you know, it's the event that people think of when they think of the 60s, but
yeah, definitely.
Oops.
Yep. Oh, well, So be
all it. Right. We should probably talk about
that. Everyone has shut this off.
And yeah. Like, why are you guys talking about Woodstock? Yeah. We should probably talk basketball here. So there's not a lot going on news wise right now. We are still in very much the standoff mode in terms of the trades and all that kind of stuff. Kevin Durant.
Need to fire the Kevin candidate.
Yeah. There's no Kevin candidate to fire. Although he did tweet just a little bit ago saying that, you know, kind of alluding to the fact that, the gold medal team that where he won a gold medal with Kobe and Russell Westbrook and LeBron and all these guys on it was that was he alluded to that being potentially the greatest team of all time or something. But again, and he deleted it already.
Yeah, which he I didn't know he deleted tweets. But yeah, he deleted it because my guess is he started getting some pushback. So the team that's behind me is still the greatest team.
The 92 Dream.
Yes. Yep. Nothing will top that team. So
that team was an event, but we do have, and obviously this hits home for you. Bill Russell's number is retired across the NBA. So nobody's going to wear number 6 again, with the exception of the players who are already wearing it. They're not going to issue number 6 to anybody else. So people, their initial response was, what does that mean for LeBron? He could still wear number 6, but just they're not going to issue it new to anyone else from here on out. Was this the right move here for the NBA?
And so this is a very interesting topic. I think yes, but I don't think this is something where you jump to doing this again anytime soon. I think you have to have had a significant contribution in your sport as well as outside of your sport to the greater good for society, which Bill Russell clearly covered. The only other basketball player who comes to mind for me that maybe you could consider doing this for down the line would be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Because I think he's had a somewhat similar impact to Bill Russell, albeit came a decade or so later that he kind of started his rise towards that. But it's tough because there have been certainly athletes who have done amazing things in the world in general, but they weren't the one of the best players of all time. And clearly there's a ton of guys who have been some of the greatest athletes of all time, but they are not necessarily known for the things they did outside of their sports. So I think that is where I don't think we're going to, because I saw some people say, well, now they're going to be this rush to start doing this around the sports leagues. It's Bill Russell and Jackie Robinson, as far as I know. And I don't know enough about hockey, so I apologize if I'm missing somebody. I'm fairly certain there's no one in the NFL. NFL doesn't really do retired numbers all that often anyway, just because of their roster sizes. But I do think Bill Russell and Jackie Robinson, it sounds weird almost to say that they earned that honor, but they did because of everything that they did. And the only reason I say that's weird is because they shouldn't have had to, I guess, is the best way I can put that. Like, it's not something that you should have had to have earned, you know, the right to be honored in this way. But they did. So I think this is probably a one-off. I don't think all of a sudden, because I've seen some people say, well, now don't you have to retire number 23 for Michael Jordan league-wide? And I don't think we're going to necessarily see that. I think that'll remain, you know, that's something that, you know, his teams did.
So I'm just a very quick cursory search. Looks like the NHL has Wayne Gretzky, 99, retired league-wide. But
I know enough about hockey to know Wayne Gretzky's records are so ridiculous that they almost look fake.
Yeah.
Compared to everybody else. And I know he's done a lot for, you know, folks outside of hockey. But that's to the extent I can comment on that, because I don't know enough about, you know, that situation. But yeah, I just don't think this is going to be something where all of a sudden it's going to be, well, you know what, we should probably do 23 for Michael Jordan. What about 32 right. for Magic Johnson and those kind of things? Because I just don't think we're going to get that, for all that they're great, you know, players, and they both have done considerable things. It's just a different situation with Bill Russell.
And it may have to be a posthumous thing for them to do it. Yeah. Like, you know, that may be the case, but I think the downside to this, and this is, you know, minor when we look long-term, but the downside was the immediate reaction from so many was, but what about player X, right? And that's what we heard. And that's not really the point of all this. Kind of, I know that tends to be our reaction. Well, if one person gets something, then the other person should too, because we've got this concept of, well, this needs to be fair or whatever. And that's a prevalent thought, you know, across, I mean, look, give a treat to one of your dogs and watch what the other one does. Sure. Like even animals have this concept of what's fair and what's not. So people saying, oh, Bill Russell gets this honor. So shouldn't it be player X, Y, and Z also get this? And I don't think that's really appropriate in the moment to analyze. I think in the moment, it's just about, this is a great player, great person, meant a lot to the NBA, and this is a way to honor him. And that's just where our focus should be.
And I think just like Major League Baseball did, is players who are currently wearing number six, let them continue to wear it, right? Because some of them, we've heard some of them speak, like, I picked that number because of Bill Russell. You know, we've heard that in the past. So let them continue to wear it until they're done, or they change teams or whatever it is. And then you move on to, you know, they move on to a new number, and then that number doesn't get issued. The one thing is, I hope there is, however it is displayed in the various arenas around the league, that it is very clear what it's for, because otherwise it might look a little odd, right? To people like why is there number six? You know, who was that? And I say this as the guy, the Celtics have retired, you know, an insane amount of numbers, because it was basically back in the day, oh, you won a championship, your number gets retired.
Right.
So that's where, like, I want to see how it is. I know this coming season, there's going to be a jersey patch, I believe they said. And there's also going to be, each court will have like a decal on it somewhere, which led to a couple people noting it's probably going to make Bill Russell, Red Auerbach, and some of the other Celtics smile that the Lakers may have a shamrock on their court somewhere, because there's talk of it being like a six with a shamrock behind it, which would be, you know, just kind of funny. And, you know, they would probably get a kick out of that.
There were a lot of Lakers fans who took exception to that. And I understand why, but
some things are bigger than
that. Yeah, that's what it is, right? Yep. I mean, I know that the Celtics honored Kobe and everything. Like, there's some things that go beyond that rivalry, even as you know, that is an important rivalry and everything. Yeah. And of course, so there's going to be that reaction. But again, some things are simply, like you said, simply bigger than that. And I like that you said you need to make sure that you understand what it's for, that it needs to be very clear. Like, for example, so Celtics fans knew why you guys had the 24 on the black band, right? But I had so many Lakers fans and non-Lakers fans say, why do the Celtics have a Kobe patch on this year?
Yeah.
You know, that was a thing. And I thought they needed, I'm sure in the Boston market, it was fine, but that they needed to do more to explain what that was actually for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, yeah, certain things, like you said, it goes way beyond the rivalries stuff, but yes. Just make it clear. Cause otherwise it's just another number hanging on a piece of fabric in your arena somewhere, then you don't really know why, right? It becomes like, well, what does that mean up there? So yeah, I think that is, you know, it needs to be very clear, you know, for what it is, for the reasons of it. I think teams could in general do better on honoring those kind of things, especially, you know, and I say this about Boston, because you have so many retired numbers, like sometimes I don't think people know the stories behind those numbers and why they're retired.
Good point. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Bucks. I guess first and foremost here, like, if you are a Bucks fan, you're most likely looking at last season as you were potentially a Chris Middleton injury away from a back-to-back title. And I think that's an important jumping off point. Now, obviously we could say, well, the Celtics were certainly deserving to get to the finals and all that, and maybe they would have gotten there anyway. We don't know exactly how it would have played out. But if you're the Bucks, the key is keeping that consistency. And I think the Bucks this offseason did that while adding just a little bit. And maybe you could argue you'd like to see them do a little bit more, but I do like what they did this offseason. So let me pull up the salary sheet, and then we can kind of break down exactly what happened here for Milwaukee.
Yep.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
While you're pulling that up, what I will say is it was, as the resident Celtics guy on the show, I have no problem with any Bucks fan, any general NBA fan, heck, even if Celtics fans believe it, to say if Chris Middleton was healthy, they beat the Celtics in that series because it went seven games. Game seven turned into a blowout, but that happens sometimes. A game gets away from you and then it just snowballs. But it was a very close, hard-fought series, and there's a chance it doesn't even get that far if Chris Middleton plays. Now, it's not just as easy as saying, well, Chris Middleton's a 20-point-per-game guy, so throw 20 points on top of every Bucks score, because that's not how it works, right? Some guys stepped up and had big games throughout that series. But, yeah, it's I don't think that's unreasonable or far-fetched by any means to say, if Chris Middleton was there, that they win. I like you said, we don't know that it happens. Maybe it doesn't still happen that way, but it certainly is far more likely than not having him. So, yeah.
And I think it's not even so much about like, oh, would this team have beat the Celtics or not? It's just important to provide context for their offseason so that we understand that this isn't, they may have bowed out in the second round, but you're not looking at this team say, well, they're really just a second round team. They're probably better than that. They didn't go into the offseason saying, we got to do something. They went into the offseason saying, we're really good. Let's not do anything that's going to mess this up.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point, their main focus was let's get our guys back. So Bobby Portis got the big 4-year contract. We kind of knew this was coming, right? Yeah. We've seen, right? He did the short-term deal when he was kind of an undervalued free agent. First time he went there, then he re-signed on another deal, and now they have his early bird rights. So now they get him on the full 4-year deal. Did get a player option on that final season. So that is something. Maybe he bops out of that when he's 30 or so and gets back on the market. It also, though, smart, not the end of the world. It aligns him with Giannis. So if Giannis is opting out, and maybe you're hitting a point where, all right, we need to start rebuilding this thing around Giannis. If Portis opts out, just get that flexibility. Re-signed George Hill. Javon Carter, rather. Yeah. Got him re-signed and brought him back on a deal that's basically just above the minimum. For this next year, Serge Ibaka was re-signed. Wesley Matthews re-signed. I think those two guys probably are going to slide to emergency depth kind of roles. Yeah. I think Matthews played a lot because Middleton was out. They had some other injuries, some in their lineup, but I think those they'll play at points. Probably more Matthews than Ibaka. I'm looking one line up on the salary page on the screen. Ibaka is really, I think that is like, that's break glass in case of emergency kind of re-signing. And then the other big one was Pat Connaughton got the extension. So he's got one more year left. Then he got a 3-year extension, about $28 million or so for him, which I think is perfectly fair for what he brings them as their, in most lineups, they're sixth man or occasional starter when he comes in. Rare guy who stays exactly the same efficiency, whether he starts or comes off the bench. A lot of guys, their role changes pretty big based off that, especially efficiency-wise. Pat Connaughton's basically the same guy, no matter what you ask him to do. And under mid-level signing for him for the next few years, even though, he's a little older, I think that's perfectly fine. No issues there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a luxury to have that kind of flexibility, especially come playoff time. You want to have guys who can perform regardless of whether they're in the starting lineup or not, because the playoffs are all about matchups and they're all about adjustments. And so I'm not saying that moving Pat Connaughton to the bench or starting him or whatever is the correct decision. It's just to have that flexibility to do so is, it can be an important thing for a team like the Milwaukee Bucks that are, of course, going to be looking to play late into the playoffs and potentially win the whole thing here. The Bobby Portis signing, I thought, was fantastic. I thought he was so critical for them to lose Brook Lopez and then just not skip a beat, just keep on rolling because he's got that three-point shooting ability, because he is so ferocious in the paint. I love them bringing him back, especially in the prime of his career. You're not going to argue with the dollar value there, considering what he's meant to the team. What do you think about the new guy coming in, though? The rookie for the team, definitely not a rookie, though. Joe Ingles. Is this Chris Middleton insurance, do you think? Looks taxpayer mid-level here. What do you think about Joe Ingles joining the Bucks?
I'll be honest, I don't really know what to make of this one. If this was 3 years ago, I'd be like, man, this is an incredible steal for Milwaukee. But he's 35, he's coming off a torn ACL. We may not even see him until holidays-ish, probably, is my guess, for when he'll actually probably debut with this team. If he can get back to being the guy he was a couple seasons ago, where a dependable, if reluctant, shooter, but good ball mover, fairly solid defender, sure, it's you know, another good wing defender for them, and one with a little bit more size than a couple of their other guys. He's a little bit bigger than Connaughton, Grayson Allen, even Wesley Matthews. Wesley Matthews is strong, so he defends bigger guys pretty regularly. But yeah, I don't know what else you could have done with that taxpayer mid-level. I don't know who else was going to jump at what seemed like they were probably only wanted to do a 1 year deal at the taxpayer mid-level for anybody. So I don't know who else would have jumped at that, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm willing to eat crow on this later, and maybe it works out amazing for them. I'm kind of left a little cold, I guess, that maybe you could have done better with that salary slot.
I think you're right in that if he wasn't coming off the injury, we'd be really high on this. I mean, I like Joe Ingles. I like his game a lot. I think that you can make an argument that not much of his game is based on athleticism. So even if it does take away from, you know, how quick he is a little bit, I think he's still going to be just fine. I think he can be a plug and play guy that can fit in just about any system. But for example, I want to ask, why would they be limited to only 1 year? Why do you think they would do that? But could that have prohibited them from getting like a Bruce Brown, Otto Porter Jr.? Like, would you feel better if they went and tried to grab one of those guys?
Yeah, I think like Otto Porter Jr. I would have loved for this team. Like, he would have been sensational for them. I think it's just for them, they're trying to avoid locking into money longer term unless it's like this guy's coming on a good value contract, or we're really like Giannis, right? It's a max deal, but he's Giannis. So of course we'll lock in there because they're facing some stuff this coming year, right? Middleton's got a player option. My guess is at age 31, he'll opt out of that after this season. He'll opt out of that. And then that's going to be it, right? That'll be his last big contract, most likely, that he'll sign. Then you've got Brook Lopez as a free agent. Now Ingles will be a free agent at the end of the year. You've got George Hill will be a free agent. So you've got some roster decisions and some rotation guys to figure some stuff out with. So my guess is let's try to keep this a little short for right now. So that way we can, if we've got to do some resetting of our rotation around Giannis, around Drew Holiday, and now obviously with the re-signed Portis and Connaughton, let's do that resetting. And then we're a little bit cleaner as we move forward, other than having somebody at, you know, 6, 7, 8 million over the next 3 years. Let's try to reset this versus doing the you know, 2 or 3 year taxpayer MLE. One other thing on Ingles.
Yeah.
Just looking at their roster, right? Maybe this doesn't quite jump out to you, but you see a lot of small forward shooting guard, small forward shooting guard, right? Yeah. All the way up and down the roster. I think when Ingles comes back, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays more as like a backup four for them, with Portis logging a lot of minutes as a backup five. We know the Bucks have, and this is not a criticism by any means, they're going to prioritize keeping guys healthy and ready for that stretch run of the season. So Giannis is probably only going to play 70-ish games. He's also coming off a summer where he's going to play for Greece all summer in Eurobasket. So my guess is we're going to see Giannis's minutes down-ish, but probably more so games sat, like full rest days versus just his minutes being down. I think we will also see Brook Lopez. I mean, he's now in his mid-30s. You're going to start to, all right, you know, back-to-backs, I don't know that we see Brook Lopez. And if we do, it might be 10 minutes. And they don't really have, yes, Bobby Portis is nominally a power forward, but he's primarily this team's, just call him their backup big, right? Because he's a backup for Lopez and Giannis. I think Ingles will slide up and play there, where that should allow his potential lack of foot speed, which, as you said, never the quickest guy to begin with. That should be lessened, and he should be fine to play, you know, against most backup lineups as a backup four.
And they thrive, you know, attacking the paint, kicking out, hitting the corner three, finding the corners in transition. Ingles can do that either as the shooter or the passer in that environment. So I like his fit there. But I also, when I'm looking at this, at their salary sheet, and I'm looking at the ages of some of these players, you can't count on Serge Ibaka being anything after this year. No. I don't know if you can count on him being anything this year, right? Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of a break glass in case of emergency player. Mm-hmm. Brook Lopez, expiring contract. I do wonder if they are looking at this as, okay, next summer, we're going to need to go and find another three-point shooting big, because that's a big part of their offensive system, is spreading the floor for Giannis by having a big out there who can shoot the three, whether it's somebody to come in as and be a backup to Bobby Portis, or if it's somebody to come in and take on more of the lion's share of the minutes. I think their taxpayer MLE is probably going to be used next season to try to find that next big. Now, who knows? Maybe Brook Lopez at 34 looks spry and he's great, and you just roll forward with him. I'm not saying he's done and it's not him. It could just wind up being him, but they have to at least consider the possibility that they're going to have to replace him next summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you're looking to do with Brook Lopez at this point is a little bit of the kind of ships passing in the night, right? Maybe Lopez is back, but as he's coming down, another guy is coming up past him, and that's where you go with this situation. So I think that's, you know, where this may go. There are other positions that are pretty well covered, right? You got Grayson Allen. I know he's not everybody's favorite player, but he's still a productive player. He fits really well with this group because of his shooting ability. And I really like the point you made. They're built around, you got to be able to move the ball. They have good or plus passers at just about every position. They've got a bunch of guys who can really get that ball popping and moving around. And when you throw Middleton back in that mix, who is one of the better all-around offensive players in the league, because he can shoot, he can pass, he can drive, he can even work out of the post if you need him to, they're going to be a very, very good team. They may finish third, fourth in the East, but I think that's more a point of, they've hit the point of their journey as a team where they're not going to push for every regular season win. They did that a few years ago, right? Remember when they won in the high 60s and then they get bounced in the playoffs? They're now where, you know what, we don't need to push to win random games on Tuesday in February. It's about being healthy, ready to go in the regular season. So they'll still, my guess is, finish in the top half of the Eastern Conference. I just don't think they're going to be like, we have to win 65 games and push for the one seed, because I don't think they're really all that worried about it.
Yeah, they know the drill. They are this seasoned veteran team now that knows exactly how to manage themselves throughout the course of the season, so that come playoff time, they are at their best, especially because that was their downfall. That's what prevented them from getting where they wanted to go this season was an injury in the playoffs. And I'm not saying they pushed too hard in the regular season, but just they understand how important it is to be healthy coming into the playoffs. And so I agree. I don't think they're going to be too overly concerned about whether they're a three seed or a four seed or whatever. They're going to have the mindset of, let's just hit the playoffs healthy, make sure that our level of connectivity is at its highest right around that time of year, and we feel pretty good about our chances.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, last kind of question, because we haven't covered him. Marjan Beauchamp. Well, what do you think of him? Their first round pick. Where are you at with that?
I mean, I think it's an ideal situation in that, like you said, they've got already plenty of guys who can play the position, so he can be brought along slowly. I think it's important for teams like the Bucks to be able to bring in young players like him to sort of bolster things and keep things rolling forward. You've got to find guys that you can hit on. And maybe, you know, in the middle of January, when the guys are kind of tired, you can put in a young player and then let him go and let him bring some of that energy. You know, I look at this Bucks roster though, And I'm seeing Grayson Allen's gonna get minutes there. Of course, Drew Holiday can play either guard position. You've got enough guys who can play those spots. Even Wesley Matthews can get in there. You've got the veterans who can play that role. So I don't know how much we're going to see of him this year. Obviously, if he shows up to training camp and he's great, then of course they'll put him out there. But I don't think there's a lot of pressure to get him out on the floor right now, but instead just use him to be kind of that energy guy when need be, and then off you go.
Yeah, and as you guys can see on the screen there, I think people have this assumption because he came out of the G League Ignite program that he's like 19. He is 22, so he's not super duper young. But to your point, yeah, I think that's the idea is, hey, we're going to let him develop. My guess is he probably logs a lot of time with the Wisconsin Herd in the G League. Yeah. Probably those will be high usage minutes, right, where it'll be he'll have the ball a lot to function as a playmaker. I will say he shot it really well in summer league, and the shot looked better than I remembered it looking from the times I saw him play with the Ignite last year on those, you know, kind of that exhibitionish schedule that they play. So that part, I'm a little curious to see how that kind of comes together with him. If the shot can be real, he's got really good size for, you know, a guard, and, you know, somebody probably eventually play the three because of his size. I was hoping to see him really lock in, because one of the things that he was billed as is somebody who might be ready to defend at the NBA level right away. That I didn't necessarily see in summer league, but it's summer league. I'm not going to read too much into that. That's what I'll be looking for is, you know, can he really lock in, be a defender, and can he make shots? Because if he can make shots, I feel a lot better about that pick. But I mean, this is a pick in the 20s, so I'm not going to rip them if he doesn't pan out anyway. I'm just curious to see how he comes together as a player over the next couple of years.
There's somebody to keep an eye on that I'm sure is going to get preseason minutes, but like if you're locked in a battle, even during the regular season, let's say they're going up against the Celtics. I have a hard time imagining Connaughton, Grayson Allen, you're going to lose minutes because tonight we're playing Marjan. When I'm looking at this team and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what their season's going to play out like, I'm not factoring in him very, very much. Right. But I think that would be true of most rookies in given the quality of this team.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I have no expectations that he plays meaningful minutes for the Bucks. And if he is, it either means things went great and he's amazing and they can't keep him off the court, far less likely, or, you know, things really went off the rails at his position and they need him to play a lot. He's the guy who will be playing on that Tuesday in February, right? We're going to sit some guys like, you know, let's give him some run. But I think most of his development this year comes through practices, stuff we don't see, and then with the Herd in the G League. But, I mean, not the most exciting offseason for the Bucks. Totally get it, but they didn't need to have an exciting offseason. They're really, really good. They're, you know, I put them right in that top tier in the East, put them right in the top tier for title contention because I think they're that good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the top teams in the East, if they can stay healthy, and they've got to feel like they, you know, they like their chances if they're healthy heading into the playoffs to bring home another NBA championship. So I like what the Bucks did. They stayed out of their own way, which believe me, is not always a thing that happens in the NBA.
This is true.
All right. I think that about wraps it up for today. We're going to head off to the weekend. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you do subscribe over on Apple Podcasts. Go check out our Clips channel. Put a link in the description below. We're here on the NBA Front Office YouTube channel, which you should also subscribe to. We're getting closer to 20,000 subscribers. Let's go. Make sure you click that subscribe button and don't forget to turn on notifications as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. Till next time. See ya and stay safe.